And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 12. And in our looking at the fruit of the Spirit of God in Galatians 5, and we then go a step further now in enjoying and exercising that fruit. And so that requires God. We can't enjoy the fruit without the tree. There's no fruit unless there's a tree to give the fruit. And the Spirit of God makes possible to give us the fruit from the tree, from God. Otherwise, we have none. So, in the light of that, and you would keep in mind, it's one thing to know why and how something works. That's another thing to enjoy how something works. Illustration. The cook. A cook that cooks. And we can be eating the food, and the cook can be eating the food. But a cook knows how that item, cake or whatever, was made. And the cook knows when something's not right. I could eat the cake and know something's not right. But I can't do, I just know. Either the cake's good, or it's not good. The cook knows the difference. The cook has the advantage. The person that knows cars, automobiles, fixes them. We drive the car, and we enjoy the car. But if it comes with a little problem, we don't know what to do. The mechanic has the edge. Mechanic knows. I don't know, but the mechanic knows. They have the edge. The doctor who's taking the medicine takes the medicine. I could take the same medicine. And I don't understand it. I take it because I was told to take it. The doctor takes the medicine. And he has the advantage over me. He knows how this is supposed to go and how it works. I don't. Believers exercise trust in God. But believers don't always know why. They don't have the advantage. And as long as everything is smooth and easy, we do it. But boy, if it gets bumpy and we don't understand something going on, we're sort of stuck. Like the mechanic, like the cook, like the doctor. We just don't know. Most believers are in that category. That's assuming they're healthy believers. The exceptions are those that understand why something is and is not. So, exercise, that's the point. Spirit of God's ministry, I want to understand that ministry. And therefore, I need to understand myself. So, in the Gospel of John in chapter 12, we're to have a most comfortable relationship. Caleb and Joshua in the Old Testament are noted, because God notes them, that they follow the Lord wholly, H-O-L-L-Y. They follow the Lord wholly. They're marked. Of all the people of Israel, those two were marked. They followed. So, they understood. God took a step, and they took a step. They were with him all the way. Now, Here, John, in chapter 12, you'll remember when we did that verse, picking up, if I can, directly in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So there is a following him. And just to see it in all kinds of different ways, but over to Ephesians, we're to follow him. And when we follow him, we're doing what? Because he represents God. So chapter 5, and in verse 1, Ephesians 5, 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We're following and walk in my step. He gives us an example in Peter to follow. And over in 1 John one more, just so you see it. In 1 John, where we are looking in the morning, 1 John chapter 1, and picking up, please, in chapter 1 John chapter 2, better. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. As my Father sent me, so send I you. The Lord Jesus said, if you're going to go and serve me, you better be behind me as I'm going down. Follow me. I'm the example. John 17, 18, you know it. God, the commission we have. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Follow me. I did it for 3 1/3 years. Now it's your turn. Walk up and down the streets. That's what you're going to do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if you can, now, what else are we going to know and remind ourselves? Because we want to have the details of why we follow and abide. I can abide without ever knowing any of this. I believe and abide and resting in God. And I can enjoy that. But I don't know a lot. So therefore, I want pieces again to make sure I have them. So, over to the Gospel of John, if you're there again. And in chapter 3, you'll remember, John and 3. And picking up, if I may, in chapter 3, and going, if I can, to verse 4. Well, I'll do verse 4, yeah. Nicodemus saith unto him, John 3:4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh earthly. That which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. So we understand that. Now, having said that, spiritual. Over to 1 Thessalonians, all kinds of ways, but just doing something so you get a little piece each time, but put the pieces together. And in 2 Thessalonians, so spiritual birth requires the Spirit of God. And you know, as you do, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, if I can, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, head to toe, top to bottom. And I pray God, your whole spirit, whole soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, point. You have a physical body that you live in. You live. The soul lives in your physical body, and you have that. Now, and depending on who and where your background is or whatever, some people just have, we have a body and soul like an animal. And that's what they believe. They'd cut out spirit. Theologically, they cut out, erase it. You can't erase it because here's just one place of a thousand. Verse 23, body, soul, spirit. You have to have a spirit if you're human. If you're not human, you're all set. But as long as you're a human, you have to have a spirit. What do you know? You have to be born by the Spirit to be born again, have life. How do I know God? God, I have to know God spiritually. That's what I have to know. I don't know him physically. I know him spiritually. Big difference. Big difference. I'm not me, and I'm here, and he's there. It isn't that. That's a relationship. Hang on. Now, having said that, to be born physically, and you know in Genesis, you have to turn there, 2:17, and God breathed into the dust that he had created, Adam, and he breathed into that dust and gave it life. He gave it life. He did. Whose life? God's life. He gave that soul, spirit, life. And you know, when we die, we go what? Genesis 3:19. What do we know about this body? We know it's dust. We are dust. We came from the dust. We are dust. We go back to dust. Now you say, I don't believe I came from the dust. Well, what to do is leave your body, die, and hang around for a while. And hang around for a while, and we'll dig you up, and guess what? You're dust. You're back to the dirt where you came from, no matter how you want to do it. Now, so, having done that, body, soul, and spirit, God's wonderful. Wonderful thing. What do we know? The body and soul, the wages of sin is death, spiritual death. Because the spirit, body, soul, spirit, the spirit was made, if I see it, we'd see it, maybe. The spirit was made, and we've shared all these things, but it's worth doing again. I want to know why I'm saved. And I want to abide in God, in Christ, very intelligently. I don't want to do it stupidly. It can't be. I need to know what I'm doing and why I do it. And I know. So we're spiritual. We have God's wonderful spirit. And so body, the soul lives. The body houses the soul. The soul houses the spirit. And the Spirit of God, illustration, is like the filament in the bulb, in the bulb. It's made like that. I have that. I'm born with that. Now, that's how I'm born. There's no light. It's there to function, but it's dead. It's powerless. Powerless. There's no life. Everyone has that. That's why Christ died on the cross, to save them. They have no power, no light. They need to believe and know the Lord as their Savior. So when we receive the body, soul, spirit, like the bulb, filament, it's there. What does it need to do? It needs to be plugged in. Is that it? Plugged in. And I can't do it like here. I make believe there's a plug in my arm. Plug, it's lit. How does it stay lit? By that plug. This isn't got any light. This has no energy or power. It's coming from out there, ever source, in through the wire. And it never has power. The light only works because the power is there. In your laptop, whatever you call the thing, whatever you do with that, if you have no battery, no power, would you tell me how good that is for you? No power. You carry it, you got it, open it up. What do you got? It has to have power. All of those components that are shrunk down from a big, the old-fashioned machine, computer, and you shrink everything down to make it a little chip. All of it needs power. The power is always outside. It's not in us. So when we get saved, we're saved spiritually. God saves us spiritually. He brings God as spirit over to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, picking up if I can, and you'll remember it, all we're doing is trying to remind ourselves of some simple things, why I'm saved. Why isn't a dog saved? Why isn't my neighbor saved? Something's missing. God is missing. The dog isn't equipped for it. The person next door to me is. They need to come to know the Lord as their Savior. So, John chapter 4, here's the woman at the well. And the Lord makes it clear to the Samaritans. Verse 22 context. Ye worship, 4:22. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers of God shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, M-U-S-T, compulsory, must worship him in spirit and truth. They have to be spiritually saved. God made them to be saved. The Spirit of God's ministry is to bring power and make a connection. How does God connect to us? Spiritually. We're designed for it. We're made in his image and likeness. So we connect spiritually in a most wonderful way. And we know, we understand, we're putting the pieces together. So I know how it works. I know why it works. I'll know why it doesn't work. So therefore, looking to God to help us in every way, so that what we're going to look to God to go and take us and help us in what? So that we understand we're dust. And God gives us wonderful life. And we know that when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God does a wonderful thing. So in the flesh, well, let's do that part. Well, you're in John. Over to chapter 6. John chapter 6. Remember the light bulb, John chapter 6. You know all these things, but just to remind you, you want to be real sharp as a believer. You don't want to be stupid believers. You never go anywhere. You want to be sharp. You want to know what you're doing, why you do it. So it's not a guessing game. It's not a trick. It's just plain, good biblical sense. You're trusting and knowing how it works, and you go and do it. And God's there every time, every time. He's right there. Of course, you're staying right with what? With what is to be understood. So therefore, in chapter 6, remember they said, it's what they said, what you're telling us. Chapter 6, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? You eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, etc. Think of communion. Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? You're stumbling, because I told you something that's true, but you don't understand it. Therefore, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. They're my words. They're not your words. They're not Paul's words. They're not Moses' words. They're my words. So when I'm speaking to you, now the writers, Moses, Paul, all of them are going to write, and then it gets all, again, we end up with our Bible when it's all done. And when it's all done, our Lord did what? He sanctioned the Old Testament that you have in your hand. So I don't need any more. People have all kinds of arguments. You can say them. But when you're done and you take everything you want to ever weigh about anything, any subject, and you put it all together, God, you do what you're doing, and you do what you do in a most wonderful way. So therefore, God, and as you do it, God, you're going to go and say what you say, and you can, I start to say, and the Old Testament you have, and you have the Old Testament, and our Lord Jesus used the Old Testament that you have. So you want to know that? He used it. If he believes it, I believe it. Who am I? Nobody. But he is somebody. And he backed it up with his life and put a stamp on it. And there's no one else in ever history, no human being, that can even come close to answering why we exist. Why do we exist? Now, so hang on. So now, in the light of that, and I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6, and all of these things. So now, and having said that much, in that, the Spirit, the words that I give are Spirit, in all kinds of ways, Romans chapter 8. And in Romans in chapter 8, picking up, making it, you can't understand, you can't enjoy the gospel, the good news, apart from, which is, Christ died, buried, and rose again, according to the scriptures. And you can't enjoy the good news. That's why you have the book of Romans especially, Romans 6 and 7 and 8, telling you what? Christ died, was buried, and rose again to give you his life. Now, and all of that, and you, I'm going to turn the page for a minute, over in chapter 6, you know it, and you're looking at your Bible, over in chapter 6, and picking chapter 6, verse 4 for illustration. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, back over to chapter 8. The Spirit of God's ministry. The words that I speak unto you are spirit. God gave them. And hang on to that. Hang on to that. I don't have too many things going. And I'm going to put my finger there. Okay. Now, Romans in chapter 8, going if I can. Verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. In other words, the old nature never is going to look to God. So you want looking for you to be full of God and be godlike. You aren't, and neither am I. It just isn't in us. Can't even come close. Can't even, we're dead. God, you have to do it. So therefore, we're spiritually alive. We're saved by the Spirit of God. And therefore, in the light of the context, verse 9, but we are not in the flesh. We are not carnal. Carnal can never please God. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, all little words, in you, the body is dead because of sin, Romans 6, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's why you got saved. The Spirit of God saved you in a most wonderful way. He saved you by giving his word. His words are full of life. So as you read the Bible, you can see it in black and white English, print, you can read, whatever you do. And you can see it in your Bible. You can read it. You can read it like you read a book. Read a book. Or you can understand the words that I speak. All of that truth is, John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That's why we're reading. I'm not reading a book. I'm reading God's word. I want to always remember that, because the words, I can read them. I read them. Read them. I have to understand the Spirit of God will take those words as I rest in them and make them live like the garden, like the tree, and flow with life. But if I don't do that, I just get a lot of words. And I can bring you a four-point message. No. Yay. No. I don't need a four-point message. Thank God for a PowerPoint message. I don't need that. I need life. I need to understand and exercise my relationship to God in a wonderful way. So therefore, and while I'm right here, it's all over the place. I'm just doing it. Romans chapter 8, sliding over if I can, to verse 13, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. Old sin nature, it can never please God. But if we through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And four, if you have received the Spirit, not received the Spirit of, for we have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the Spirit of adoption to be placed as sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The whole, it's all about a relationship. As I'm reading, I'm supposed to be understanding what God is saying in God by God's grace. And this verse 16, and the Spirit himself, itself, beareth witness with our spirit. Got that? That's easy. God take, not with your soul, with your spirit. That's how you read. They're related spiritually. It's not a trick. God made me for it. When I believe, I got it. I got it. Use the plug. Here's the plug. And here's the bulb. Here's the bulb. And I'm going to plug it in. Now, the plug, you can do. You can put your hands in the plug. You can put your plug in, put the plug any way you want. There's nothing in the plug. It's when the plug connects into the socket and makes the connection. That's, you don't want to touch the plug anymore. It's full of life, full of life. So we can do all we want. It's when we turn and we're looking and abiding, which I can do without knowing anything. But when things happen, I don't know how to fix or why I'm not abiding. I don't know how to fix it because I only know I enjoy the light bulb when it's lit, but I have no idea when it isn't lit. When it's carnal, I don't know what to do. I don't understand. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, and what we're just running back and forth and up and down and around, what are we looking at? We're looking at we're in the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And we're trying to understand the Spirit of God's, how he works. How am I going to understand how it works? Where's the power? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So where am I going to get the power? I'm going to understand. It's going to come from your word and my believing. By faith, walk by faith, not by sight. So now, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2, sliding down if I can, in verse 11. For what man knoweth, 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? We all understand. The dead light bulbs all come together, and they're quite happy. It happened. Doesn't bother anybody. This is a religious person over here. This is a Mormon over here, or something else over here. Here they are. They're all there. They don't mind whatever. They fight among themselves and try to get the most people and get power, which is normal. And they do that. They're dead, like the proverb said. There's no congregation like the congregation of the dead, you know. Congregation of the dead, they're there, but there's no power. You got to have light. You got to have light. And this man, they understand each other. Chapter 2, verse 11. Us humans are able to worship and be of one mind and one heart. We could believe everything. We believe the moon is made of green cheese, and we can worship it, and we can do it. We do it with vengeance, etc. We do whatever we want. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things, verse 13, also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, because that's what it is. And go down to verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why not? Because they are spiritually discerned. And as long as the Spirit's dead, it isn't going to go anywhere. It isn't going to go anywhere. Got to get saved. You got to get plugged in. Not plugged in, not going to go anywhere. So then I try to find something, since I can't, if I'm not going to enjoy being saved in God's awesome way, then I'm going to go and find someplace, somehow, that we can do whatever and be whatever and be Christianized and everything and be happy. Be happy. It's good enough. It's good enough for them, good enough for me, and we'll join the club. I don't want to do that. That's a losing cause. Now, having said that, a little bit, back over to Galatians 5, where we were in all this. And in Galatians 5, just think of all the places we did when we did it, just to remind us. Chapter 5, Galatians, and if I can, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust is desire, is the word, the lust, desire. It's a desire that reaches out to hold something, to hold it. Not just desire, it's aggressive desire, lust, to hold. I don't just desire it, I lust after it, I want to hold it. Therefore, verse 16, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sliding down verse 18, but if we be led of the Spirit, we are not under the law. How does that answer all the law? Because the Spirit of God is life. Hang on to that. Over to chapter 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Over again, every time, back and forth, we need to understand a wonderful relationship to God. And we do it intelligently because we're made. We're made to exercise and enjoy a unique oneness to God in a unique way. And in chapter 3 of Galatians, you'll remember, and chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, chapter 1, 3, 1, 3, 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that we should not obey the truth? We have before, remember what you read in John, that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Chapter 3, verse 1, that we should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the appearing of faith? Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Is that how you're going to do it? You can't do it. There's no way. Well, I believed and now I'm going to do it. No, you're not. You're not. You have to be plugged in. Wonderfully, wonderfully plugged in to God in a wonderful, wonderful way. So God, you have to help us in every way. So the Spirit of God brings the life of God into the heart of the believer, and that to enjoy that life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we're resting in God's Son, resting in God's Word, in faith believing, faith trusting God with all our heart. So therefore, over and doing that, because God's going to go and take his Word as we're reading and resting in him, and God's going to produce a wonderful relationship, like in John 17, The two shall be one flesh. Why do you want us to have such a oneness? Oneness and oneness. When I say oneness, when I say that, think of this light bulb plugged in, lit. The power is in the light bulb. The light bulb is connected to the power, a unique oneness. Spirit of God makes, when I get saved and you get saved, the Spirit of God makes us one. Everywhere I go, the Spirit of God has given life, the light bulb. Now, I'm either going to go and enjoy that life, or I'm not going to. The Spirit isn't going to go away. Spirit isn't going to go away. You do have spiritual life, and it isn't going to go. But if you choose not to abide and believe and rest, then you don't enjoy what you're having. What are you having? Spiritual life. You are being saved. You don't enjoy being saved because you aren't enjoying it as you should. You understand God isn't going anywhere. That's why you're saved. God isn't going to go anywhere. He bought you with a price. He bought you to save and saved you. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and God gives you his wonderful righteousness. And you know that. Now, put that together just to make sure you have it. Second Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. This is just a sidelight, but it's good to know it. Why it is. You want to know why. Why is that true? And 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 21. 5:21. 2 Corinthians, you're familiar with it. 4. He hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that purpose, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when we believe, he becomes our righteousness. Now, therefore, that makes sense? Lock it in. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 5. And you'll note, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Why is that true? I didn't die on the cross. Christ died for us. So when I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he died and took my penalty, the penalty of sin, in his own body. He became sin for me and died. So that what? I could have a rightness with God. Romans 4, 5, that's why his faith is counted for righteousness, because he died and to give me righteousness. When I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that becomes my righteousness. My faith is righteous. It makes me righteous in a most wonderful way. Now, keeping that in mind, if I can, what we're looking at. So now, having said that little bit, and looking to God to help us in every way, sliding over, if I can, picking up, if I can, don't want to get tied up. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and keep me in mind what you're going to read. John chapter 15, and you remember what the plug has to be plugged in. There's no power, there's no life, there's no light unless it's plugged in. The reason it has life is because of the power. It isn't because of the light bulb. It isn't the person. The person just has made the right connection to God. Have faith in God and abide in him, this wonderful person, and God will bring forth the light. So therefore it makes sense when I read it again. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Unless it's plugged in, there's nothing. That's all. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen unless I am going to be in fellowship, looking to him. And there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. You either are plugged in or you're not plugged in. True. If I hold the plug up here, make believe I got a plug for the light bulb. No matter what I do, I can do whatever I want with it. But it can't light anything. Without me, you can do nothing. But, I'm going to sing, I'm going to preach, I'm going to do whatever. Without me, without being plugged in, you have nothing. Right? It has to be plugged in. Doesn't matter what. It has to be plugged in. He has to be involved. You can't have fellowship, Christian fellowship, without God. We've shared that many times. God has to be included. So therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful kindness and working, there's no middle ground. Spiritual, you're either spiritual or carnal. Or like Revelation 3, you're either hot or you're cold, right? There's no middle ground. You can't have two masters. You will love the one and hate the other, or vice versa. There is no middle ground. There's no middle ground. There just isn't any. We'd like to think there's a middle. There isn't a middle. There isn't a middle. And you'll remember that, all those things, the Civil War, all of that. People wore a Union shirt and Union shirt and Confederate pants, and was going to be neutral. And he went out and showed him he was neutral. And the Union shot, the Confederate shot at his jacket, and the Union shot at his pants. It wasn't a smart move. I'm going to be neutral. You can't be neutral. There's no such thing as neutral. You're either plugged in or you're not. You're either hot or cold. You're either in fellowship or not fellowship. You're either walking by faith or you're walking by sight. You're walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. There is no middle. At any given point, you're either in or out, plugged in or out. I'm either looking to God, abiding, or I'm not abiding. The Spirit of God's ministry is to do what I need. Help me. Help me understand that I need to abide. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make sure to move and motivate us by faith to be trusting him in the thick and thin, and in thus in Romans 5. The Spirit of God's, you know it, Romans 5. And in Romans 5, reminding myself, in God's wonderful grace. And Romans chapter 5, if I may. And picking up. And you know what, I just read it very quickly. Chapter 5, verse 3. We stand rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. Patience bearing up under the load produces an experience where we learn, we're learning. An experience learning produces a wonderful expectancy that we're going to keep going. We keep going. We know how to make the car run, and we keep going. We can fix the car. If it has a problem, we know how to fix it. We know where the problem is, and we keep going down the corridor of time. The doctor knows the medicine isn't working. I'm doing this, and the doctor knows it produces that kind of symptom, some other thing. He's going to change it. He knows what to do. Therefore, it produces hope. The trial, the test, the trouble. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to help us as we learn, as we live through the day, 24-hour day, 7 days a week, as we live through it, we exercise. We exercise an ever-increasing, intelligent understanding with God. And we're doing it. We aren't stupid about it, I know. What I do, I stopped abiding. I stopped trusting. I got tied up. Boy, I went time. But just think of, back to the car, quickly. Here's the car going down the highway. We're going to somewhere. And here's the car, and you're driving the car. Over here next to you is the top mechanic. He knows all about it. And here's the top mechanic in the car. So as I'm going down the corridor, and we can chat about anything, and we're all going the same direction, we're going to have the same dinner, we're going to eat the same food, we're going to go to the same bed, we're going to do what we're doing. So it's all the same. All the same as we go down the corridor, as it were. And therefore, therefore I can look to him, talk to him. He's right here, all the time. Here I is in my, I'm saved, I know the Lord is my Savior, and I'm free to be able to go to know him and talk to him. He talks to me and tells me God's my Father, and I'm to enjoy the mechanic. And so therefore, if anything happens, he already knows everything about the car. And in the process, all I have to do is keep driving. So if I have any problem come up, I just have to look to him. He's right here, right next to me. He has all the answers. He knows what to do. So I don't have to worry about it when you're going down the corridor. God's right with you. And you just enjoy his companionship. Proverbs chapter 1. You enjoy his wonderful person, and you enjoy it. And you go and eat your food and do whatever you're doing, and you're abiding in God. If something comes up, he's there, and you're resting, you're abiding. You talk to him, trust him, and be specific about something. Otherwise, you're just being thankful and driving down the corridor of time, and that's what you're doing. You already have an ever-present companion, if that's a good word. You have it. And you have to exercise it. Where is God? You can't get out of the presence of God. And God isn't going to get out of your presence. You can't get out of his presence. And he isn't going to get out of your presence. And you're trusting him as you go down. And God will bless it. It's a wonderful it's a freedom. The truth will set you what? Free. That's what free. What do you mean free? To be able to enjoy a wonderful journey without getting frustrated and fretting about everything. You're going to go because I have my God, help me. And you're abiding intelligently, better and better, more and more. Anyway, I got to quit. Anyway, thank you. Hope you got a little bit. Anyway, thank you.